Well, but Reza Aslan's book, Zealot, The Life and Times of Jesus of Nazareth, has risen to number one on the New York Times bestseller list, has become a bit of a national phenomenon, is, I have to confess to you, a bit disappointing and disconcerting, because the reductionist and debunking approach that he uses has been used by hundreds of scholars over the past, let's say, 300 years. But you find that the serious scholars of the historical Jesus always end up debunking the debunkers. Now, how does the method work, this debunking method? Well, you take one aspect of Jesus. You find all the passages in the gospel that emphasize that aspect. You declare them historically reliable. Everything else is made up by the later tradition, made up by the early Christian communities. So, according to this method, Jesus, the prophet of the kingdom, Jesus, the declarer of timeless spiritual truth, Jesus, the wonder worker, Jesus, the magician, Jesus, the cynic philosopher, etc., etc., have all been proposed. And the same method employed. Just find everything that supports those. And indeed, you can find things in the gospel supporting all those readings. You find those, and then you dismiss everything else as musings of the later tradition. What they all miss, of course, is what I would call Jesus in full, which is this richly complex, beguiling, strange, wonderful figure that the gospels in their entirety produce. So what is Reza Aslan's proposal? Well, it's Jesus the Zealot, as his title indicates. Jesus the first century insurrectionist who was taking on the temple establishment in Jerusalem and then behind the temple establishment, the Roman political and military power. So he was like a lot of other figures around that time. Think of Menachem, who was the great hero of Masada, you know, that stood against the Romans. Think of Judas the Galilean, maybe most famously of Simon Bar Kokhba. All Jewish insurrectionists proclaiming a kingdom of God, stirring up the opposition of the Romans, and then being done to death. What's Aslan's argument for this? Well, that Jesus did in fact proclaim a kingdom, which would have been threatening, you know, to the Romans, that people like these insurrectionists were very thick on the ground, and Jesus used some of that same language. And above all, that he was done to death in the way that was typically meted out to opponents of Rome. So taking all that evidence, he says, that's who Jesus was, a failed first century Jewish insurrectionist. Was he killed by the Romans? Yes, indeed, Aslan says. Did he rise from the dead? Well, no, of course not. His body was probably left on the cross like those of other insurrectionists, and the birds of the air or the dogs, you know, consumed his body. So that's, historically speaking, what happened. Everything else is made up, concocted, and is a matter of faith. Subtext, obviously irrational faith of Christian people. Now, having read a book like this, I mean, questions immediately crowd the mind. So, first of all, what do you do with all of these key texts? Think of the Sermon on the Mount that emphasize nonviolence, enemy love, resist not evil, turn the other cheek, etc. Not exactly the stern stuff you'd expect of a, you know, ruthless insurrectionist. Oh, that's made up, of course, by later tradition, trying to curry favor with the Romans. What about Jesus' explicit claim in the Gospel of John that my kingdom is not of this world? Oh, that was placed in the lips of Jesus, of course, by the later community. What about his almost constant stress on prayer, the spiritual life, trusting in God's providence, things having little to do with a program of insurrection made up by the later community? What about all the outreach, I mean, to the woman at the well, the man born blind, the raising of Lazarus, the raising of the daughter of Jairus, etc., etc.? You know the answer by now. It doesn't fit the paradigm, so it's made up by the later community. Here's the problem, if I can put it kind of in a nutshell. If Jesus simply were one of these failed first century Jewish insurrectionists like the rest of them, Bar Kokhba and company, why are they remembered only by a handful of specialist historians? And why is Jesus remembered by everybody? If he's simply one of these characters, wouldn't he have been forgotten as thoroughly and readily as they were forgotten? See, here's the thing that I think is most compelling from an historical standpoint. Christianity emerged in its earliest days as a messianic movement. It declared Jesus the Messiah, Yeshua Mashiach. Paul translates that in more familiar to us as Christos Jesus, Christ Jesus, Jesus the Messiah. The clearest indication possible that you were not the Messiah of Israel would be your death at the hands of Israel's enemies, because the Messiah was expected to deal with the enemies of Israel and now to reign as a triumphant king. Therefore, if Jesus simply were a failed, poor slob, the failed insurrectionist who died on the cross and stayed in his grave or his body consumed by the birds, the claim that he was the Messiah would have been ludicrous, as it was in the case of those other figures who were also in their lifetime referred to as Messiah. But the minute they were killed by the Romans, their movements died away and they were forgotten. Why was Jesus remembered? Why did his movement endure? I agree with N.T. Wright here that on strictly historical grounds, the best explanation for the emergence and endurance of Christianity is, wait for it, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead as a real historical event. Only that makes sense of this extraordinary claim they made to the messiahship of Jesus. By the way, they all went to their deaths defending it. To write him off in a debunking way is simply one more Simon Bar Kokhba figure. It seems to me flies directly in the face of all of that extraordinary evidence. You know, I want to say a word before I close about this question of historicity and historical reliability. You read a book like Aslan's, and there are many others like it. They will kill you with the assertion that, look, the Gospels were written, you know, decades after the events. Let's say Mark's Gospel, kind of a consensus, written around the year 70, so say 40 years after the events of Jesus. Clearly, therefore, it's largely made up out of whole cloth. Clearly, therefore, it's largely the invention of the traditions, the communities, and so on. What is this so much nonsense? Would you automatically reject out of hand, as just wild fantasy, a book written about the JFK assassination, let's say in 2003? So a book written about the JFK assassination 40 years after it took place. Would you automatically say, oh, that book is utterly unreliable? That book is just a fantastic invention of the author. Well, no, you would assume that author has consulted lots of records, talked to lots of people, including many who were there on November 22nd, 1963, talk to eyewitnesses. See, what strikes me when you read books like Aslan's, and again, many like it, it's as though Jesus disappeared from the scene, and along with him, everyone that knew him just disappeared. They all evanesced. And then 40 years elapsed, and suddenly, ex nihilo, people like Mark make up this wild story. In fact, the people that knew Jesus, that touched him and talked to him and heard him and watched what he did, didn't disappear. They were thick on the ground among the early Christian communities. Mark represents this first attempt that we know of anyway to bring together much of this witness, including much from eyewitnesses. And let me stress Mark again for a second. There's a very ancient tradition, and there's no serious reason to doubt it, that Mark was a companion of St. Peter. When St. Peter left the Holy Land and ended up in Rome, he had with him a young man, Mark, who was a companion, translator, etc. Again, no serious reason to doubt this ancient tradition. Mark would have heard him, listened to him, heard him preach, heard his stories, probably over and over again. Many say the Gospel of Mark represents sort of even the rhythm of Peter's storytelling and preaching. We're one step removed from an eyewitness with with Mark, the author of the first gospel. We're one step removed. This fantasy that, oh, there's this huge gap of time and there's no connection to anyone that knew what went on is so much nonsense. There are a lot better accounts of historical Jesus than this one. I'd mention, E.P. Sanders, James D.G. Dunn, Richard Balcom, who wrote a great book called Jesus and the Eyewitnesses, making the point I just made. Ben Witherington III, and my favorite, N.T. Wright, whom I've referenced already. What these people show you is that the real Jesus, the Jesus in full, is far more compelling than this superficial caricature offered by Reza Aslan.